Okay, with Brandon Catcher from Portland, Oregon. Renaissance in the Castle is the short film from the Experimental Film Festival. Got a little music into it as well. It's 17 minutes. It works. Tell me about the making of this film. This seems like an interesting project.
Yeah, so I guess primarily a documentary filmmaker. I have been for the past 20 years or so. And I had just finished a fairly grueling 2-year documentary production that dealt with a lot of harder subjects. So at the end of it, I would say I was fairly burnt out and looking and thinking about, what happens next? What's around the next corner for me? So I happened across a opportunity with an artist collective that had rented out a castle in a small village in Italy and was planning to make performances for local Italians in that village and the surrounding area. And I connected with one of them and they wanted me to join them for this. To kind of document what they're doing, but along with that, I talked to them about making a short experimental film with the performers there. And as performers, everything from musicians to performance artists to people doing drama productions and dancers and a little bit of everything. And I decided that, yeah, that sounds like a good opportunity to do something a little bit different from what I'm used to. So I went on this trip to Italy, and I stayed in this giant 5-story castle with them, and I went there not really knowing what would come out of this. I didn't know what we would get. I didn't know if the artists would be open to spending, a couple of days making a film along with their other performances. So went there with really no idea, and then we spent a few days filming, and I, ended up kind of working with each artist, and we found a rhythm and kind of danced together, and that's Resonance in the Castle kind of came out of that.
And this is their original, but the music in the film is their original music.
It's a little bit of both. Some of the music is mine, the music that's kind of the interstitials between the performances.
Okay.
But other than that, each one has original music from the performers. So the first guitarist, Lucas, composed his piece, and then Matoshi, the harpist, he composed music for both of his pieces in there. And then the third part was music from Jet Black Pearl, who also was at the event as well. So yes, it's all original music from either the artist or myself.
And then you kind of put chapters in the short film. Like there's different kind of sequences in the film.
Yeah, so the film has four sequences, and each one was filmed, they're all filmed over a period of 2 days.
And
And
same castle.
sorry?
The same castle, like in the
All in
same.
the same castle,
Yeah.
yep. And different floors, different rooms, and we really wanted to make it feel like, each room was its own kind of mysterious space that worked with the artist performing there. So each one was kind of des each performance was designed around the space where we filmed it.
And then there's different shooting styles for each one too. You gave each one a different look.
I wanted to make each one feel unique in its own space. I mean, the whole idea of this was sort of a dream castle. So, as this audience member is walking through or moving through these spaces, each one would feel very, very different. So we, tried to light everything different. We tried to use, a little bit of different energy for each one. For instance, the first one, I'm very much moving along with the artist throughout the dancer. Whereas the second one, the harpist, obviously he's going to be in one space. So I had to kind of move, style the movements,
Lots of close-ups.
along, for myself and
Yeah.
figure out, kind of how his music would, or my movements would represent his music.
And then the female, It's almost like she's in black and white and everything. Like, it's really cool, like that her sequence, like, because she's got a
Yeah.
journey, she's moving into the world, and she's kind of has an arc and a story to tell.
And that piece was actually put together by my good friend Angelique, and the younger woman is actually her daughter. And we actually envisioned that piece kind of separately originally as a separate, smaller film,
Yeah.
but it worked so well in the space that we ended up incorporating it into the
Yeah. It's
longer.
funny because that's what I had for the sequence. I had like this could be its own short film.
And it has become that,
I know,
and we're
too.
using it as such as well as
Yeah.
being a part of this full film.
Yeah. It could be, it's part, it's it thematically fits into this film, but then there's also, it also could be its own film easily.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it was envisioned. But at the time, we didn't always know what we wanted to make out of this entire thing. And then every piece just, it's one of those films that every piece just kind of slotted in very nicely. Which
So
doesn't often happen. So,
what, I'm curious, what's the origin story of the castle?
the castle is actually very interesting. It's not an incredibly old castle by castle standards. It's about 100 years old, and it was built, I believe, in the 1920s or the early 1900s, and it was originally built as basically a gift to the builders. I guess girlfriend, or he was infatuated with this woman and he built this castle for them and filled it with art of the time. And then it eventually changed hands a couple of times and now is privately owned. But the person who set this all up had a connection with the owner, and we were able to get them to basically let us stay there and film there. And it's the first thing I did when I arrived is I basically took my camera and spent some time in every single room, just filming and taking in all the details because there's so many details throughout the castle. Each room is very different and has a different theme. So it just worked perfectly for us because, we could utilize this almost museum of art and design in our film.
And what, and so you have that's the exterior in the film, that's the exterior of the castle that you
It
shoot.
is, yeah. It's the exterior and the interior. Everything was shot at that castle.
And where is
And
this in Italy? Where, what city is it in?
it's in a small town called Balzola, which is between Turin and Milan.
Okay.
So it's about an hour outside of Milan. And it's in a small little town. It's one of those Italian towns that has lost a lot of its population over the years because a lot of these European countries. The small towns, everyone's moving into the larger cities. So it was the town itself had a character too. We didn't show it much in the film, but and this castle sits right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
So
that's the sequence, the exterior you have when I guess the character, the daughter's playing the character, but she comes out with that beautiful shot, and it's like right in the middle of a small town. Yeah.
And in the credits we show a little bit of because not only did they perform for the film itself, they also performed for local audiences too. So
Okay.
the castle was opened up to locals that actually many of them had never seen inside the castle. So I think it was a great experience for them as well. And we show a few shots of that audience in the credits, but we did very separate performances for the film, obviously, because we need to light them and we had to have the camera in front and all of that.
And then the dance sequence at the end, who chore like how did you get a choreographer? Like, how did you set that up?
So that was choreographed by the two dancers as well as one of the organizers of the event, Elizabeth, and they had it all set up beforehand. But they also wanted to make sure they were flexible because that space that we filmed was not the space that they performed for audiences because it's a smaller space. They weren't able to do everything that they had originally wanted to do for audiences. I mean, that space was so beautiful that we just had to film there. So they adjusted it for use there, and they were able to use kind of the different heights of the space, and we could, film them in front of the sunset. So it was just, It ended up working
I
perfectly.
was gonna say, yeah, he shot in the sunset, so you only have a certain amount of time, obviously, to shoot that sequence, right? So the magic hour, I guess.
It was just we had to make sure that we got it in the time that we could. So we waited until the sun was in the right spot for it to be right behind them, and then we reset everything and did it all again with the drone, which I was down at the bottom of the castle. Then with goggles on and filming them again, doing the same thing with the drone, so we could add a couple extra shots from above and flying over the castle as they were dancing. So it had to be done pretty quick, but everyone was we all worked together so well that it just kind of came together.
Yeah, it's a great sequence with the sun and great costumes too. Like they're perfect.
Yeah, that was all them. They did an incredible job putting everything together, and I know it was very tough for the artists too, because the castle was not every time you had to go up to, that's about 5 floors high. So every time we had to move everything, and the dancers had to walk up five flights of stairs every time we wanted to do a take.
Okay, so then you said that this was part of it, like a film organization that rented this castle. Like, was this in
So
Portland?
it's a group called Trails and Vistas, and it's headed up by a woman named Nancy Lopez, and she basically organized all of this. They are actually based out of Tahoe in California, and they do basically events called art hikes, where they'll bring in audiences to take a 2 mile hike and have performers situated at different parts in this hike. So it's kind of in a wilderness experience where you can go in and you can see dancers and musicians and artists. So for this, they wanted to do something a little bit differently, and they came to the castle and had people come to the castle as opposed to the artists being out in nature. So she did an amazing job. I know it was a lot of work. The castle was beautiful, but it was also technically difficult. It was very hot while we were there. Lots of mosquitoes, so it was a bit of a battle with the natural elements.
Yeah, well, it doesn't show up in the film, so it doesn't matter, I guess, right?
Yeah, we got lucky.
So that's pretty amazing that this kind of like happened like upon you. I guess it was like a good creative outlet for you after you said you experienced the documentary. Not that that wasn't creative, but this seemed like a pretty inspirational kind of to go to Italy and you do this castle, all this aesthetics, meeting all these artistic people must have been pretty inspiring.
For me, it was a breath of fresh air. I've been in the documentary world for a while. I've wanted to do some other work, but especially after this last one, you feel drained. And I needed something to basically refill my creative cup. And this was exactly that. It was working with other artists. It was, using their creativity to build up my own. Once again, so for me, it's looking back on it, it was an experience that really kind of got me back up to this space where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to kind of get back into this and do some more work and find my own creativity. So for me, it was a moment that really brought me back up to well, I think I can get back into this and do something creative again and work on my next project as well.
You said in the director statement, freedom of creating without expectation. That's a theme that I've like from very experienced people like yourself, where you get to a certain stage in your career and you're doing well, but then all of a sudden you're not kind of doing anything for yourself. I'm just kind of, I'm just being kind of like general, of course, right? And then you do something like this, and it does, like you said, it does fill your cup, it does inspire you because you got to do that. You have to do projects for yourself, and there's got to be zero expectation. Like, you just got to do it for you, if that makes sense.
Do it for me. And also, like I said, going on something like this and not knowing what I was going to be filming and going with a completely, blank page and being like, I know I'm going to be filming with artists, but no idea what that's going to look like when I'm there, as opposed to, documentary work where you have a plan and you know exactly what questions you're going to ask and what you think you're going to capture and how that is all going to be put together at the end of the day. This was, I'm going to go there and figure it out and see what comes out of it.
It's funny that you said that because usually the narrative film, it's you know what you're going to get, and then the documentary film, it's sometimes it's verite where like you don't know what you expect. So it's funny that you said that it was the opposite for you. So it's funny.
Well, I think you're right there, and being more of a documentarian and having to roll with the punches and you have a plan, but you don't know exactly how that plan's going to turn out, and you might go in an entirely different direction. So maybe coming from that side of things kind of allowed me to just take a step back and film for the sake of filming and seeing what comes out of this. Versus a narrative filmmaker who, they're going to have a full shot list and they're going to have a full storyboard and they're going to know exactly I'm going to be filming this on this day and we're going to get all this content. Documentary is, a little bit more fly by the seat of your pants often.
Like it's just a beautifully photographed film on many levels. You kind of start the film in the mountains. What was your artistic choice to do that, to have started in that kind of that give the set the tone of your film within the mountains like that?
So before I went to the castle, I spent about 6 days kind of alone in the mountains. I rented a little cabin up there and did a little bit of hiking and kind of experienced, the Alps, right up there, on the border of Italy and Switzerland. And I had originally envisioned a project about a I'm a drone pilot. That's a lot of the smaller jobs that I do. And I envisioned this idea of a drone gaining sentience and learning what it was, and finding this castle and flying through it and experiencing these artists, learning what it was like to have consciousness. And that was an original idea. We didn't get permission to fly the drone in the castle. So that idea then kind of morphed into this more experimental film. But the first shots that I did was flying up in the mountains there. And then that kind of became the idea of the audience being pulled to this castle, some invisible force directing the unknown audience or viewer to this castle. So I wanted to start in the mountains, then kind of flying down into the valleys and following this path and trails to this castle. So that's kind of where that started. And I just, happened to, I carried the drone with me while hiking up in the mountains, and I found this one spot that was just spectacular. So sat there for a while and did some
Were you by
aerial
yourself in
filming.
the mountains for 6 days?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was going to Italy. I might as well spend a couple of days just traveling around and experiencing some nature for a bit. So,
Do you like that? That's an experience in itself. Like, do you ever, is there like do you is there like a loneliness factor? I'm just curious about like kind of being like one with nature and using the cliche for
yeah.
a week.
So I've done quite a bit of that. I do, I backpack, I do some trekking here and there, and I do enjoy just kind of being alone in nature sometimes and experiencing it, with out distraction. So for me, having a few days to just kind of wander is always important when I travel. Either alone or with, a few people and just kind of experiencing for what it is.
Wow. And this is like a, like I said, nicely photographed film. You got the best of these artists. Like what did, I'm assuming they've seen the film. What was their reactions when they've seen the film?
So everyone, and I actually don't think all the artists have seen it yet. I think many of them have. We have been trying to put together a screening for all the artists, but the artists are coming from all over the world. So there were some from Matoshi is
Japanese, and he spends a lot of time in Japan. He's a classical harpist and does shows all over the place. We had other artists from South America. We had some from California, some from Canada. So they came from all over the place. And so we haven't gotten everyone together again yet, but we're hoping to do a screening and get as many of the artists as possible. But the ones who have seen it have loved it. I think eventually we're going to kind of cut it into little pieces for them to utilize
Yeah.
on their own as well. But I think it was just one of those special places and moments where everyone was able to work together and build something. And we also created a documentary, a short documentary of the actual performances they did for audiences, which they did some in the castle and some in a winery as well. Two
Well,
days of.
the end credits, you have some of that. You have like some shots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
have a few shots of that. And then we did a longer form documentary with that as well that, the artist can use and the Nancy can use. And so we built a couple of things out of this whole project, but I think, and the two work together well. So I think, yeah, the artists are happy and we're going to be doing more projects with them as well. Nancy in Trails and Vistas has a huge repertoire of artists and productions that they like to put together. And while this film was a little bit separate from Trails and Vistas, it all kind of speaks to the same thing.
It's kind of cool, like to have like a musical experience in like a non-concert venue setting kind of thing. The acoustics are different, and like the whole vibe is different. Like I like that ending credits. I just saw a little bit of it, where like they're sitting in this like castle space, listening to music. It's something. There's something. I don't know. There's something there from a capitalistic nature. I'm thinking maybe there's something really cool about that, like
Yeah, it
that setting.
was such a unique
Yeah.
event, nothing I've ever experienced before. And Nancy and the artists really went above and beyond to make this a experience that the audiences would probably never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well,
Yeah.
like I said, just a brilliant photograph film. Obviously, you know what you're doing. And like I said, that there's that one sequence, like I'm not dismissing any other. I think the whole film is great, and I think it's perfect 17-minute film. But there is a short film in that female like journey, and then she turns into the younger self. It's kind of it's an amazing film. It really is.
Thanks.
That little short,
Thanks.
yeah. It's like from a festival programmer. It's a no like this film too, but that film, like little 4-minute film. It's a that would get into every major festival that you submit to. So,
Oh yeah, and she Angelique is an incredible performance artist. She's a sculptor, she's a painter.
she's
That one
so
was
photographic. Like she just
all
like the audience
yeah.
loved it right away. Yeah.
That one was all her, and what she's actually done with it is she's created or we've created a loop version of it. So it's that little part of the film, but it's meant to loop in her studio. So it loops over and over and
Oh,
over
thank
again.
you.
And
Yeah.
this is her story, is the story of, this woman who, tries to find who she is. And that's, something that you have to repeat over and over and over again in your
That makes
life.
total sense, what you just said. Like
Yeah.
you go to a museum or like a show, art show, and you have that in the background. I can totally see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that will be showing up at one of her events in the
Yeah.
next few months, I think, as well, the
Yeah.
shortened version to that.
Well, congratulations. Like, are you going back to documentary filmmaking now?
I am. We're actually starting a production next week called Colors of the Spectrum, and it is a it's this beautiful, inspiring documentary series on neurodiverse and autistic teens and adults at a makerspace in San Rafael, California, and it's where they learn life skills and they become artists and creatives and learning things like animation and woodworking and building, and it's just a incredibly inspiring place. So we're doing a documentary series on these students and what they can teach people about how to, maybe look at their lives and look at the world a little bit differently. And say like, oh, I can, you know, maybe think about things in a different way than I've been thinking about them my entire life. So that's what we're hoping to show, and we're starting that production in just actually a few days now.
As we're doing this podcast, like autism is in the news, right?
It
So,
is.
yeah.
Yeah. And autism is, and neurodiversity is, thinking about less as a disease and more of just, everyone thinks about their lives and reality and in a different way. You know, we all live in our own universes. So,
100%, yeah.
learning about how other people, respond to things and how other people, look at their lives and their reality, I think, would help a lot of us step outside of our own boxes.
Yeah, that I 100%. There's nothing else to add to that, but like better said, better, easier said than done, I guess. That's the best way to put it. But
Yeah.
I wish you the best with that project. I think it's amazing. I'd love to see it. All right. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, and let's talk again when you make your next film.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate being a part of the Experimental Dance and Music Film Festival. It's been a great experience. So thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you.